How's everybody doing? So today I am going to talk about the marks of a mature person. Oh Lord. Sometimes we have to grow up rather than giving up, don't we? But if you look at all the problems in the world and you look at what's going on in your life, a lot of it has to do with immaturity. I mean, we say stupid things, we do stupid things, we make immature decisions. Sometimes we just are plain dumb, but a lot of it is immaturity. And we just need to grow the heck up. That's what my mother used to say. I've thought a lot about my mother last night and today. She'd say, just grow the heck up. So she didn't say heck. And she was a Christian. She loved the Lord. But when she wanted to get up on the cross, she would. So, but God's will for every person. In Hebrews 6, he says, let's go on to maturity. God says, grow up. Did you know the purpose of our church is to help people grow spiritually? It's to help people grow emotionally, mentally. Yes, I said mentally. In every way, to have a balanced Christian living. But we can't do that if we can't do it ourselves, right? So what is maturity? How do you know that you've arrived? That's a great question. And we're going to look at that. But first, I want to look at what maturity is not. Maturity is not age. Has nothing to do with it. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. Don't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter. Maturity has nothing to do with your age. I know some old people who are immature. It has nothing to do with appearance. Maturity has nothing to do with appearance. Some people look mature. They look spiritual. They look dignified. But they don't know anything. They're immature. Maturity has nothing to do with your accomplishments. You can make millions and millions of dollars and still be immature. So what is maturity? What does God say about maturity? What does God say? God says maturity is attitude. It's your attitude. It's what makes the difference between being immature or mature. It's your attitude. You know what your attitude is? Your attitude is your character. Oh, Lord. Yeah. That's your maturity, is your character. I don't know if anybody knows D.L. Moody. I love D.L. Moody. He's amazing. He says, character is what you do when you're in the dark. Mm-hmm. Character is what you do behind doors when nobody's watching. When you're not on stage, when you're not performing in front of people, when you're not having to put on that mask, that face, that's your character. It's not what you do to get people to say, oh, you're so wonderful. You do all these things. See, that's recognition. Recognition is what people say about you. But character is what God says about you, right? And God says that your attitude determines whether you're spiritual or not. And God wants us to grow up and behave like mature Christians, mature individuals. So how do you measure spiritual maturity? First of all, it's by not comparing yourself to other people. You compare yourself to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about you? And I was looking in the book of James, and James has a lot of stuff about maturity. And he gives us all these marks of what maturity is, what Christian maturity is. And I come up with five, so I won't bore you, you know, and just hang on with me. What are the traits of a spiritual mature person? What is that? A mature person is positive under pressure. That's number one. How do you handle trials? Do they blow you away? Do they make you nervous? Do they make you uptight? Do you grumble? Do you gripe? See, Christianity is a life. It's not a religion. It's a relationship with Christ. And Jesus said, I come that you may have life. How can we grasp onto that if we're being immature about it? So do me a favor. Put your hand in front of your face and breathe. Congratulations, you're alive. If you can feel your breath, you're alive. You walked in, you're alive. Life, being alive, means that you have problems, right? And part of life means solving problems and facing them with the right attitude. So what is your natural attitude? Sometimes my natural attitude is that I get irritated easily. I said it. Yeah, I do. Are you positive or are you negative? Are you supportive or are you skeptical? Is your life filled with gratitude or is it full of grumbling? Are you affirmative or are you angry most of the time? I used to be a very angry individual. I would cut you if I knew I wasn't going to jail. I mean, I would. That was who I was. But James said, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Stuff happens, but it's how we respond to it is that indication of our level of maturity, right? So junk's going to happen, but respond to it. Pray about it. Seek God about it. Number two, a mature person is sensitive and loving toward other people. You mean I got to be nice? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do. The scripture says, love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others. God takes that very seriously, y'all. He takes it very seriously. A mature person is sensitive to people. A mature person doesn't necessarily see their needs all the time. It's not what about me. It's what can I do for you? What can I do for you? God says being interested in others is a mark of maturity. James gets specific. He says, don't show favoritism. James 2. He says, don't show favoritism. Don't be a snob. Don't look down on people. Don't judge people by appearance. Don't insult people. Don't exploit people. Don't use people. How many of us use people? And it could be little things. Maybe we don't have a car and they have a car, but you don't give them gas. No, anybody does that, but I'm just saying that's what came to my mind. But the second test of maturity is love. It's how you love people. Do you love people? Do you love people with genuine love? Or is it like a surface love, like, I'm a Christian and I gotta love you. I don't like you, but I love you. No. I remember sitting in a meeting with PK one time, and I said, well, I don't have to like them. I have to love them. He said, no, you don't. He said, no, that's not right. He said, yes, you do. You have to like them and love them. And we were talking about working with others is what we were talking about. But you said you kind of like them and love them. But Paul said, I may win all kinds of people to the Lord. I may build great buildings, church buildings. I may give my money to the poor. But if I don't have love, I'm basically a sounding brass and tingling cymbal. That's all I am. It don't matter much. It's what he's saying. If he were Southern, he'd say, it don't matter, y'all. But it's interesting to me that on the day that I stand before God and he's judging me, he's going to be judging me based on how I treated people. He's going to be judging me based on my character, what I do behind doors. But how do I love? How do I love? I'm not going to be judged on how many Bible verses I know, how many times I came to church, what a great reputation I had, what a great leader I was. It's going to be on how I treated people. And you know what? I'm going to do everything that I can do to treat everybody right. Okay. Number three, hold on to your seat. Grab a hold. A mature person has mastered their mouth. James 3 says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offends, not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. So what James is saying here is, a mature person is one who has a tame tongue and has self-control. You know, when you go to the doctor, what's the first thing they say? Stick out your tongue. They want to look. They check your health by looking at your tongue. I don't know. It's crazy. But God does that spiritually too. Right? He does it spiritually. And in World War II, there was a saying, it says, loose lips sink ships. It's because loose lips destroys lives. It hurts. And I'm not going to talk about gossip, but y'all, don't gossip. I was like laughing because I think the definition of gossip is hearing something you like about somebody you don't. Yeah. Self-control comes when you can control your tongue. We get ourselves in so much trouble saying whatever we think we need to say. Sometimes we don't need to say that. You know, the size of your tongue is very insignificant, but it controls your life. What you say either directs your life or it destroys your life. You can delight in people or you can discourage people. Right? Your tongue is a very powerful force. It can be used for good or it can be used for evil. That's a choice. People don't wake up and go, ooh, I'm going to use my tongue for evil today. I mean, I don't. But do I on occasion? Mm-hmm. I do. Have you ever heard somebody say, I just say what's on my mind. And they're proud of it. Well, if they're saying what's on their mind, maybe there's not a whole lot up there. Maybe they're saying things that shouldn't be said. But the Bible says that's not frankness, that's immaturity. Some people just need a large dose of tactfulness. Y'all, I say what's on my mind, I do. But when I say it, I am conscious of like, is it going to hurt somebody? I'm the first one who will say what everybody else is wanting to say in the room, I generally will say it. I do. But I am very mindful of what I'm saying. There's a time in my life whenever I did say what was on my mind, and I would, and it would be ugly. It was my opinion, which was a very skewed opinion. In Ephesians 4, it says, do not let any negative talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. If you are looking in your Bible, circle the word any. Any negative talk, I'm out. When you talk, just don't build yourself up, but build other people up. Say things that build people up. If it doesn't build somebody up, don't say it, even if it's the truth. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. If you haven't mastered your mouth, then you're missing the point. In James 1:26, he said, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Y'all, if I memorize 100 Bible verses and I go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, I never miss a service. But if I gossip, my religion is nothing. It's worthless. If I spread rumors, it's worthless. If I'm saying things that are not accurate, or if I exaggerate, or I speak impulsively, it's worthless. The test of true maturity is that you manage your mouth. You control what comes out of your mouth, and yes, we can. You can. Speak the truth in love. That means speak the truth in the right attitude, in the right place, in the right timing, in the right location, and have the right motive. Your attitude should be like Christ. And if it's not, then you're missing the point. Y'all might want to hold on to your seat again. A mature person is a peacemaker and not a troublemaker. Oh, snap. James 4, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? See, what he's talking about is conflict, right? And he says inner quarrels is basically what you're fighting when you're talking and you're arguing with other people. So basically we've heard hurt people, right? Hurt people. That is very true, but does it make it right? No, it doesn't. So ask yourself, am I a peacemaker or am I a troublemaker? Do I like to argue? Y'all, I know people like to argue. I have almost 220 employees at work, and the ones that like to argue are the ones that are always at my door. And they just love a good fight. I just want to pop them in the jaw. But I can't do that because I love them. Do my feelings get hurt really easily? Do I get defensive easily? Do I hurt other people's feelings? Am I a peacemaker or am I a troublemaker? The mark of a mature person is a lack of conflict in your own life. Paul told the Corinthian church, he said, you guys are a bunch of babies. And sometimes I think God just looks down and he goes, y'all are a bunch of babies. But that church that argued about everything, they argued about the Lord's Supper, they argued about gifts, they argued about leadership, they argued about everything. And that was a sign, and that is a sign of immaturity. And I know a lot of people are like, why is there so much conflict in the world? Why is there conflict in my marriage? Why is there conflict where I work? Why is there conflict with, Deb? Why is there conflict? And so, anyway, or a former friend, or why am I having conflict with God? Why is there conflict? Well, maybe it's you. Maybe you're the conflict. But we don't like to look at ourselves. We like to point fingers and judge other people. It's your fault. Right? Y'all looking at me like I am crazy. Y'all know I'm telling the truth, right? But if you're always blaming people for everything, more than likely it's you, not them. But when we do that, we think more of ourselves than we do others. The other source of conflict is being judgmental. All of us are guilty of being judgmental. But God says, don't judge people. Why? Why should I not judge? First of all, I'm not God. When you judge somebody, you're playing God. The only judge is God, and he is the lawgiver. See, God called me to be a lover, not a lawyer. I don't have the right to judge. You shouldn't judge people because only God knows the facts. I don't know all the facts. I can make up my own facts. But I don't have all the facts, so I can't judge properly at all times, right? But you don't know all the motives. Why did that person do that? You can't tell what's in somebody's heart. Maybe they did something, but it was to better themselves, or it's all they had to do. That doesn't make us right for judging someone. God says being selfish and judgmental causes conflict, and we know that. We've seen it. We see it at work. We see it at church. We see it at home. But God says judgmental people are immature. And the last one is a mature person is patient and prayerful. James says, meanwhile, friends, wait patiently for the Lord's arrival. You see, farmers do this all the time, waiting for their crop, their valuable crops to mature, patiently letting the rain do its slow but sure work. Be patient like that. Be steady and strong. The master could arrive at any time. Also in James 5, he says, make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. If you haven't read James 5, read it. It's pretty powerful. It's something to be reckoned with. But I read the Message Bible. It's really, really good because it gets right down to it. In James chapter 5, patient is mentioned 5 times and prayer is mentioned 7 times. But the mark of a mature person is that they go together, you know, or they go together. They're patient and they're I can't say that word, prayerful. Maybe I need to do it more. I don't know. But those two things go together. You know why they go together? Because they express an attitude of dependence on God, not on other people, not what other people say about them, not what your spouse thinks about you, but what God says about you. And we have to wait on God to work in our lives. And the only way that you learn patience is by waiting. We must be patient. So what are the tests? We're going to take a test, a real quick test. And I was going to have people like to raise their hand, like, are you a troublemaker? You know? Are you a peacemaker? But what are the tests for, am I mature or am I not? Have I arrived or have I not? How do you handle problems? Do you get uptight, negative? Do you grumble, complain? Maybe you should take a look at that whole mature, immature. Or are you positive under pressure? And be honest. Because if you're not honest, I mean, God knows the truth, right? Deb said it. He already knows. So you might as well be honest. But if you're not honest with yourself, how can you change it? Or you can't. Are you sensitive to other people? Are you concerned about their needs or are you concerned about your needs? Do you care about their hurts, their pain, where they are? Do you reach people when they're down and when they hurt? Or do you only see yourself? Mature, immature. Can you manage your mouth? Have you learned to put a muzzle on it and not speak sometimes? That's basically what it says, you know? When you hear juicy gossip, it's tempting because the knowledge is powerful. It's powerful to know stuff about people. And you want to share it. But look, do you pray about it? I guarantee you, if you pray about something before you share it, he'll say, don't do it. Don't share. Don't share. But why should we pray? Because we don't really want to know the truth, do we? No, but pray about it. Are you a troublemaker or are you a peacemaker? Do you have a tendency to stir the pot? There used to be a girl on our ball team, and she always liked to stir the pot. Anything about anybody, she stirred the pot. And I mean, she was 14 years old, and I don't know where she is right now, but I guarantee she's probably still stirring the pot. But she used to do the craziest stuff, but everybody knew it, so nobody told her anything. And then she felt bad about herself because she's like, well, nobody ever tells me anything. Well, wonder why. Girl, you can't keep your mouth shut, and you stir the pot with the information that you have. Do you have a temper? Do you get ticked off really quickly? Mature? Immature? Or are you a peacemaker? The one thing about people that are troublemakers, I always find that they're always nursing their bitterness. I used to be a very angry and bitter person. And the whole world was about me. Because I was angry and bitter. I had the right. Because I was angry and I was bitter and people had done stuff to me. But then I look back and I was really the root cause of it all. It wasn't a pretty picture. I didn't like who I was. But guess what? It took me being honest. And it took me looking in the mirror, not just a regular mirror, but God's mirror, and saying, you know what? I am the root problem. I got to stop blaming everybody. I got to stop giving everybody the power over me, because that's what I was doing, was giving people power because I would lash out and just walk away. But then what did that solve? It didn't solve anything. But I finally had to look in that mirror, in God's mirror. And sometimes it's not pretty, but that's the only way that it's going to change. I'm telling you, the biggest thing you could ever do is step up to God's mirror and say, mirror, mirror on the wall. You know what God's going to say back. Because you already pretty much know the truth, but you just don't want to face it. And that's okay. But until you do, things aren't going to change. You're going to still be the angry, bitter, lashing out at people person that you are. And you're going to stay immature and not grow up. I know 50-year-olds who are not grown up. They may have a house and a 2.75 kids. They are living a life of a grown up, but they're not grown up. I mean, I figure if you're paying bills, you should act grown up. But sometimes it doesn't work that way. But God, He wants you to grow. He wants you to be the best you can be. And without growing up, you'll never do that. But you know, he's always pulling you along. He's always like, hey, come on, girl. You got this. You got this. But then you let go of him. He didn't let go of you. But he comes back and he's like, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. But it's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. We cannot be an effective church if we can't grow up. We can't be an effective church if we're talking about Christopher. Nobody talking about Christopher. I'm just saying, you just were. But we can't be an effective church if we talk about somebody who walks in who doesn't look or act or fit that mold of whatever it is in our mind that we think is Christian-like or perfect or whatever. You know what? We can't grow. We can't affect Atlanta by judging the people, the very people that we worship with on Sunday mornings. We'll never be able to be effective and change the outside of here if we are talking or nagging or you want to talk about leadership, whatever it is you're doing, just stop. Because guess what? There's something bigger. There's something bigger than right here. We got people to talk to see, to bring on board, to get to heaven. But we can't do that if we're, you know, if I'm talking about Kathy, or if I'm being judgmental of Tracy, or if I'm nitpicking Jonathan. If I'm so concerned about everybody here, about the do's and the don'ts that they're doing, how do I have effective time to get out there and bring people into our circle? And who in the heck wants to come to our circle if we can't, if we're fighting amongst ourselves? Nobody. We cannot effectively affect the environment outside of here if we can't control what's in here. Y'all, if I was bold, I would just drop the microphone. But that's all I have to say. Treat people fairly. Grow up. Love people. That's the basis of everything, just loving people. But that's all.